As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio.
I'm focused. I'm prepared. I'm ready. I've been trained by the best. I went to Howard University. That overturned legal segregation in this country. I've been taught in those classrooms where Thurgood Marshall once taught. I'm not afraid of no president. Donald Trump, we're ready for you. We're coming for you.
I think she already approved that to us, that she's going to go after Donald Trump. That's the Attorney General of the state of New York, the one that went after Donald Trump as a candidate, former president, of course, for fraud. It kind of makes me wonder how she knew to navigate such a weird situation with Donald Trump on the fraud that she alleged that he committed and, of course, got a conviction. She might have known a little extra about that fraud. Let's talk to our friend Will Chamberlain about it, senior counsel at the Article 3 Project, which you can learn more about, article3project.org, and on X at Will Chamberlain. Will, welcome back. It's good to have you here.
Good to be with you, Annie.
The Letitia James suit from the Trump DOJ suggesting that she participated in mortgage fraud. Now, detractors are going to say, well, this is just lawfare from a president who's trying to engage in revenge. What are your thoughts on this? Is this a fair lawsuit coming from Pam Bondi and the DOJ?
I mean, it sounds like it. I'm not super deep on this particular lawsuit. I've been focused on the Abrego-Garcia stuff. But I'll say what I do know about it is, I mean, apparently she falsely put that this was her primary residence in, I mean, when it was a completely out-of-state house, which is, I mean, it's really straightforward. If that's true, that's probably mortgage fraud because these loans are only supposed to go to people for their primary residences. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you know, you got to think about this is the woman who went after President Trump and tried, you know, on a real estate issue. Remember, she's the person who said that Trump committed real estate fraud because he didn't value Mar-a-Lago at $20 million. When Mar-a-Lago is probably a $1 billion property, if you know anything about how ridiculously expensive Palm Beach real estate is. So, I'm not sympathetic to her. I think that there's probably, it looks like there's a real case here, and I expect her to have real trouble defending it.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it unfolds. I'm glad you brought up the Abreu-Garcia conversation because we want to talk about that as well. I heard a clip earlier today from Hakeem Jeffries. I think he was at some sort of political town hall, and he stated that our plan from the jump is to sue. He wanted to sue the Trump administration as much as they possibly could. Now, politically, I'm watching the Democrats work overtime and decide to hold hands and kumbaya around this MS-13 member who they want to deem as a Maryland dad. It seems as though the facts bear out that is not a Maryland dad. And the Trump administration promised that they were going to deport the bad people that were illegal immigrants out of our country. And the Democrats are rallying around this guy as the face to push back against this policy. Are the Democrats misled?
Yeah, I think pretty badly, actually. They're misled, first off, because this story never would end with this guy in the United States again. The one thing everybody agrees upon is he's a removable illegal alien with no legal status in the United States. He applied for asylum and was rejected. He was rejected because his application was time barred. He applied in 2019 after he was detained by ICE, and he, by his own admission, crossed the border in 2012. You have a 1 year from the time you cross illegally to make to apply for asylum. Mm-hmm. So all he had was this withholding of removal to El Salvador. That's it. And so that means he would have been removed somewhere else. But moreover, if, you know, all the Department of Justice needed to do was just go to court, go to the immigration judge, say, guess what? Circumstances in El Salvador have changed. Gangs no longer run the country. Nayib Bukele has turned it into one of the safest places in the Western Hemisphere. There's no basis for him to feel a fear of persecution from gangs in El Salvador. He needs to go home.
So I see people saying about this guy, bring him home. Are you telling me that El Salvador, that Donald Trump did that, put him home?
That's that El Salvador sent him home. El Salvador is his home. He is an El Salvadoran national. He's not a legal permanent resident of the United States. He's not a U.S. citizen. The United States is not his home. He is an illegal immigrant. And I think that the fact that you have all the media and so many leftist activists, it gives away the game. What they're trying to do is get rid of the notion of legal immigration, get rid of the notion of citizenship, get rid of the notion of borders. Otherwise, you wouldn't be calling a guy who has no legal status in the United States a Maryland man.
So Will Chamberlain speaking with us right now with the Article 3 Project. Do, in your mind, if we get into the brain of the Democrat Party or these Democrat activists trying to remake who Garcia is, do they not understand the facts of the situation? Are they so used to being able to create and manifest crises that they think that they can manipulate the American voting public into just believing their version of it for a political gain? Or are they just dumb and they don't get it?
I think it's a little bit of two dynamics. One is they're sympathetic to the project of facilitating illegal migration. So when they hear about a wronged illegal alien, they're like, we're all in. They're just predisposed to do that. But there is a part of this also that involves his lawyer misleading both the court and the public with the way that he framed his complaint, with the way he attempted to get this injunction. A really good example of this is they very strongly underplayed the evidence that Abrego Garcia is an MS-13. They suggested it was only the apparel he was wearing when he was arrested and an uncorroborated CI report. And then yesterday, when Pam Bondi releases additional documents, we find out that the key really relevant piece of evidence that the guy is in MS-13 is that he was arrested with two other MS-13 members, two other heavily tattooed MS-13 members. Oh. This fact omitted from the complaint, omitted from all the public reporting, omitted from every one of these immigration advocates being like, there's no evidence that he's in MS-13. And then you read the document and you're like, wait a second, there absolutely is evidence that he was in MS-13, which we should have predicted, because of course, when he applied for bond back in 2019, when he was detained, the immigration judge said, he's a verified member of MS-13, you're not getting bond. The Board of Immigration Appeals heard that and agreed and affirmed the immigration judge. So we should have, the people who were getting way out ahead of their skis saying, there's no evidence. Like, we hadn't seen the evidence yet, but given what we had read about in these earlier court documents, it was pretty obvious the evidence was there.
So I want to play for you a little clip here from not the most stable Democrat voice out there, but nonetheless, he has a voice. Keith Olbermann, who every time I see a video from him on X, I'm like, that dude's not OK. He's not doing all right. But let's just listen into where he thinks that America needs to go.
The all-new Monday Countdown podcast. Kristi Noem, the head of the Department of Homeland Security, and Tom Homan, the head of ICE, must be arrested immediately for contempt of court. They are defying court orders to return Mr. Abrego Garcia from captivity and torture in El Salvador. And they and Trump are on the verge of being in contempt of court of the Supreme Court. As Trump begins to indicate, he will not abide by its rulings about returning Abrego to this country. It is time to teach the Trump administration a lesson. The Trump administration is trying to teach the rest of us a lesson, which is that even if it makes a mistake, it will not correct it, and that we should all be afraid of being arrested even if we were born here. That's why dozens, perhaps hundreds of people born in this country, full residents, full citizens of this nation, received notices over the weekend that they had 7 days to leave America. It was just another administrative error.
I could stop him there. He said that the reason I play this is because this is what people on the left are hearing. And then when our friends and family get together for an Easter dinner on Sunday or whatever, and we're on opposite sides of the aisle, you got people who are listening to you, Will Chamberlain, on the Annie Fry Show, and you got people who are listening to Keith Olbermann saying, I think that Pam Bondi and Trump are going to get arrested because they're defying the Supreme Court. What's your response to Keith Olbermann?
Well, let's start with the easiest question. Who exactly do they plan on sending to arrest the Attorney General of the United States? She's in charge of all federal law enforcement, What including the U.S. Marshals, by the way. What are they going to send? They're going to send local Supreme Court staff over to the DOJ, waltz right into Pam Bondi's office, say you're under arrest, bring her to the non-existent jail at the Supreme Court, because, the Supreme Court doesn't deal with detainees. What are they talking about? That's point one. Point two is obviously Keith Olbermann did not understand the Supreme Court's ruling. The Supreme Court acknowledged the executive branch's concern with the idea that they would have to effectuate Abrego Garcia's return to the country as being a violation of the president's Article II powers. This is a Salvadoran national in the custody of the Salvadoran government. Any forcible or coercive act by our president would be a very aggressive act of foreign policy, and that's something that an Article III judge has no jurisdiction, no authority to impose, to require. So they're just wrong. I mean, Keith hasn't read the briefing, doesn't understand that what the Supreme Court said is it's acceptable to order the government to facilitate his return, but facilitate in this context means to eliminate obstacles on the side of the United States, meaning send a plane, give him an entry visa, things that are totally within the government's control that don't require any interaction with a foreign sovereign. Once you get into should the president interact with a foreign sovereign, you are squarely in Article II, core Article II authority. The president is the sole organ of the nation in foreign affairs. Courts have no role. So
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Olbermann is wrong.
You know, I think I was
wrong on the law, and he's wrong on the ability of any of these people to be held, to be thrown in jail.
When I was listening to the El Salvadoran president sitting next to Donald Trump in the Oval Office, I think Pam Bondi was talking about this, and the press asked the El Salvadoran president, like, would you send him home? And he's like, why would I smuggle a terrorist into the United States? And I was like, at least he gets it. It seems like he understands what's best for the United States. I just don't understand why the folks like Keith Olbermann are working so hard to bring that guy back into the United States. Like, why is it, of all of the efforts that this Trump administration is making to purge the millions of people that the Biden administration have imported into this country intentionally, they want that guy back? That doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the dog that has a bone, right? Like, they got this small bone, which is they're right on this one point, which is given the fact that this guy had a withholding of removal to El Salvador, he could not legally be deported to El Salvador, right? That's true. Trump administration has admitted it in its court filings. Everybody agrees this was an error, an administrative error. But they don't want to give that up as like, they're not willing to realize that everything else about the Abrego Garcia case is bad facts for them. This guy was a bad person. He was a wife beater, likely an MS-13 gangbanger, an illegal alien in the country for 7 years without ever once interacting with our authorities. And the real, once you actually dig into the story of this man, it's an indictment of our asylum system. It's an indictment of our, however our immigration courts are functioning, that this guy wasn't deported in 2019 when he was caught.
Yeah. I mean, I would assume that if you were somebody who was supporting President or supporting President Biden's then slash Kamala Harris on the immigration issue, and you're just, you know, the kindest of them all, the bleeding heart liberals who doesn't want to see anybody have a bad day ever, that when the immigration deportation stuff starts happening, the picture that you had in your mind of how bad it was going to be wasn't going to look like Abrego Garcia. It was going to be like a single mom or an old lady who's been here for a long time. You thought that that was going to be the thing that the left championed, and it just appears that they don't have that yet.
Yeah, no, they don't. They don't have that because, you know, credit to the Trump administration, they're doing a pretty good job of identifying criminals and of not making mistakes. Mm. Like, they did make a small one here, and the left has seized on it like crazy and apparently is going to make this MS-13 gangbanger or their standard bearer. Maybe it's good to make a few small mistakes like this if this is what the left is going to respond with, if they're going to respond completely out of proportion and embarrass themselves when the facts are eventually revealed.
Yeah, well, you said to us, I think it was the last time we talked about like the transformative way that the Trump administration has come into here. They're doing big, big things. And like every political category, they're doing big things and challenging all the status quo across the board. Mistakes are going to be made. And I think it was you that explained to us that the system is set up to make it too scary to do big things. Like pull yourself back, you restrain yourself, because the system will come out to get you, and the Trump administration just seems unafraid.
Yeah, no, that's the best thing about it. This is a different Trump administration. They were much more cautious in the first term, too cautious. They're being sufficiently aggressive this time, and it's really working and paying dividends.
It's refreshing to see. Will, we thank you for your time. Hope you have a great holiday weekend, and we look forward to having you back soon.
Thanks for having me, Annie.
You're welcome. Take care. Bye-bye.